mighty one God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. You can be seated. God, are you listening? Have you ever asked that question? It's the question that comes up when we talk about prayer. We want to know that God is listening to our prayers. So we try to pray right and pray for the right things and pray in the right way. We want to pray in the right posture at the right times and in the right frame of mind. We pray often and fervently because we want God to listen. We want him to hear our prayer. It is a constant cry from the faithful that we want God to hear us. God, please hear me. I grew up in a Baptist church, and we had what was called a motherboard. Anyone know what that is? The motherboard at church? There was a section of the church building where all the older mothers sat. And there was a special time during church where the mothers would get up and they would sing a song. And I remember the leader of the motherboard was Mother Johnson. I don't know what her first name was. I don't know anything else about her except for that was Mother Johnson. And when Mother Johnson stood up, she was going to sing one of two songs. One song, I still to this day have no idea what the name of the song was because I did not understand the words. It was something like, oh, I love the Lord. Yeah, that's all I remember. But I do remember this song. Y'all remember this, don't you? I remember this song. They would get up and they would sing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And then, "Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." The motherboard was singing for the church, and the church would join in, and it was a collective cry that, "God, we know that you're busy. We know that there's a lot of things going on. We know that there's a lot of things that you have to maintain. We know that there are a lot of people praying, but please, please, amidst all those things that you're hearing and all those things that you are doing and sustaining and maintaining, please hear my humble cry." There is an acknowledgement in that song written by Fanny Crosby that there are a lot of people calling on God. God does have a lot on his plate and a lot of cries to answer. So Fanny writes so eloquently and has been sustained throughout generations this song, "Please God, among those cries, hear my cry and don't pass over me." It sounds similar to a lot of the psalmists who write similar phrases. Psalm 17, chapter 1 and verse Psalm chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist writes, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right." Or Psalm 27 and 7, it says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." Or Psalm 54, where it says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." Aren't we just like Fanny Crosby or the psalmist? We want God to hear us. So we ask constantly, "God, are you listening?" There is no doubt that his people are talking to him and praying to him. Is he listening? One thing must be shared at this point. Yes, God's people are talking and speaking and praying, but it must be acknowledged, and Psalm 50 is a powerful reminder that God is speaking too. God is talking. God is saying something. The Lord, the mighty one, is God, and he has spoken, the text says. Our God approaches, and he is not silent, the text says. Oh, my people, listen as I speak. That's God speaking. The testimony and witness of the Holy Scriptures is that Jehovah, the Lord our God, has spoken, is speaking, and will speak. And while we are constantly asking God, is he listening? God is asking us, are we listening? God is one who is worthy to be heard. He is one who deserves to be heard. Are we listening? One of the blessings of prayer, and we've been talking about prayer for the past several weeks, is that it is not just a one-way mode of communication. True prayer is one that is bi-directional. And yes, it is important and necessary that as we pray, that God listens to our prayer. But it is probably more important that we understand that God is speaking, and that we listen to him in prayer, and that we listen for his response. There is a story that Mother Teresa was being interviewed by Dan Rather. And Dan Rather asked her a question. He says, "What do you say to God when you pray?" And Mother Teresa responded, "I listen." Dan Rather says, "Well, what does God say?" And she replied, "He listens." Prayer is much an exercise in listening as it is in speaking. And thus it is a move from monologue, where there's just one person speaking, or it's just us speaking to God and God is listening, to dialogue, where we speak and God speaks, where he listens and we listen. Throughout Scripture, listening is an act of faith practiced by the people of God. In Exodus chapter 15, it says, "Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, 'If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you.'" In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 26, it says, "For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survive? Go near and listen to all the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey." And again, another psalmist, Psalm 85 and 8, "I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly." Richard Foster, who's an author and expert in the areas of spiritual formation and in prayer, he wrote this. He wrote, spiritual formation is a process, but it is also a journey through which we open our hearts to a deeper connection with God. We are not bystanders in our spiritual lives. We are active participants with God, who is ever inviting us into relationship with Him. Prayer is a part of that spiritual formation that Richard Foster spoke about. Thus, it is a tool used to connect us with God. While it is true that it is our way of speaking with God, prayer is, it is also true that it can be a way by which we hear God. Oftentimes in our prayer lives, we do more talking and just being quiet and listening. Part of the reason is we don't know what we're listening for. I think in order to hear what God is saying, we need to first acknowledge that God is speaking. It's not enough to acknowledge that He spoke in the past. We need to accept and believe that He is speaking in the present tense, right now in my existence, that God has a desire to connect with me. He didn't just have a desire to connect with Moses and Jacob and Abraham and David and all those great people in the past. He wants to connect with me. He wants to connect with you. He is inviting us to have a spiritual life. He is inviting us to have prayer so that we can talk to Him and He can talk to us. I want you to know that God speaks through Scripture. The Bible is the document that stands at the heart of our faith tradition. We use it to determine our lifestyle, our practices, our rules. We use it to help us describe who God is, what God does, and what He will be doing. We use the Bible to help shape our understanding of the way things should be. Now, much of our Bible reading is relegated to the intellectual exercise. That is, we read the Bible to fill our minds with facts and information and figures. Now, while this is helpful in our faith journey, if we just keep it at facts and figures, we're losing out. Jesus said in John chapter 5, speaking to His listeners, He said, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me, yet you refuse to come to Me and to have life." Jesus was surrounded by a lot of people that read a lot of Scripture. They knew a lot of Scripture. We've talked about this in the past. A Jewish male, most Jewish males would know all of Torah. Yet when they were in the presence of God in flesh, they didn't connect. See, there's a point where we can just get stuck at keeping Bible reading as an intellectual exercise. Jesus acknowledges that the hearers of His words read and studied Scripture, but He challenged them when it came to the desired result, which was deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Praying using the Bible is a way to hear God through Scripture. Throughout the Psalms, you see writers who meditate on the Word of God, hear from God, and respond to God. Meditating on Scripture is the practice of reading God's words and slowly inhaling them into your spirit by slowly considering what is being read. You are allowing the words to shape your heart's understanding of God and yourself. You are allowing the text to question you and judge you and mold you and form you through careful and slow readings of text. It is possible to give room for the Lord to speak through Scripture directly to you. How many times have you read such powerful passages like Psalm 23? Just don't turn to it. Don't try to read it. Just listen. Just listen to the word here. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many times have you read that passage and it stopped being this intellectual exercise of trying to find out what still waters mean, or what green pastures mean, or what does it mean to anoint my head with oil? But it moves from that intellectual exercise to this comforting peace where God is literally speaking through scripture. Because you know what? I've lost my way many times in my life, but the Lord is my shepherd. I'm surrounded by people who don't like me. They're my enemies. But I can walk boldly in the presence of my enemies because my God is with me and he comforts me. And even when I get out of whack, when I mess up his rod, he uses it to correct me. And that's why when all is said and done, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We move from just reading scripture and filling our head with stuff to opening our heart up to connecting with God. I would encourage you that if you struggle in your prayer time, open the Bible. Open the Bible to the book of Psalms and pray with these prayers that were written thousands of years ago that helped worshipers thousands of years ago. It helped them worship. It helped them pray. And I would submit that it could still today in 2011 help us pray. When we engage in Bible study, it should always be accompanied with prayer. Before you open up a Bible and say, I'm going to study, you spend time with God asking him to open the eyes of your heart, open the ears of your heart, so you will see things that you've never seen before, so that you might hear things that you've never heard before, that you'll understand things that you never thought you had the ability to understand. When our hearts and minds are open, wide open, there is much to receive from the Lord. If you're not part of a small group, I will always encourage you to be part of a small group. But as part of the small group experience tonight, you're going to share in a version of what's called a Lectio Divina, or sacred reading, where you slowly read the text. You spend some time in silence with a determination to hear from God. I can't help but continue to go back to several years ago when the teens used to meet at my house, and for several months, that's all we did. I think Caitlin, you probably remember this. Caitlin's not in here. So Caitlin, you probably remember this. Yeah, you do? Yeah. She remember where we would get together and we would just read scripture and we would just spend time in silence. And I'm telling you, adults, you would not believe what was coming out of the mouths of these teens as they allowed God to speak through the word to them, and they shared in that experience. God speaks through scripture. I want you to know that God speaks through nature. This is a consistent cry in the Psalms. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. 1 minute, it's calm and serene. The next minute, you hear the violence of thunder and crashing of raindrops or hail. The final minutes of the day, you see a serene sunset. The rain and the wind have blown the natural smells of the flowers and green grass. You take the sights and the sounds in as you behold these sights. And as a believer, you can't help but say, there is a God. I continue to marvel at how God speaks through nature. to truly hear God through nature is to truly accept God as creator of this world and that he is in control of everything in nature. Try to make the most of the beauty of God and nature by taking time to slow down and observe. I like to play golf. I'm not good at it. And those in the golf league, and I've been on your team, you know that I'm not good at golf. And I don't know if I've shared this enough, but one of the reasons why I like to play golf is I love a golf course, a beautiful golf course. How many people have been to the Memorial Tournament? I love just walking. I don't watch a lot of the golf play. I just walk around and just watch the flowers and the grass and the nature that's out there. Sometimes we just got to slow down and open our eyes to what's around us. Some of you have traveled this country and traveled this world, and you've seen sights that are just breathtaking. You've taken that opportunity to slow down and to hear God through nature. I'm not one that takes a lot of walks, but I know that I need to take more walks, and I know that I need to go to the park and take more walks so I can inhale God's voice in nature. Reflect on great passages of scripture like Psalm 19 that indicates that the movement in nature is declaring the glory of God and that God is indeed speaking. God speaks through others. When we pray to God, we desire to hear from him. We desire him to say yes or no. We desire to hear him say, I am with you, or I'm going to take care of you. We want him to say yes or no. The prominent figure or prominent voice of God in the Old Testament were prophets. They were God's mouthpieces. The people of Israel would cry out to God in prayer, and often God would respond through a prophet. During the times of Isaiah the prophet, God was going to punish the people because of their unfaithfulness to God. He was going to use other nations as tools of punishment. The people cried out. They prayed to him in fear because of the pain and affliction they were going to suffer. Isaiah and other prophets of that day would often speak words of comfort that came directly from God. Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, once said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. While this application might be readily seen when you hear a message in church from a preacher, don't take for granted the times you hear God speaking through others in your life, like your spouses, like your children, or like your friends. You know, I don't have a quick temper. I have a built up temper that comes out every once in a while. Anyone like that? It builds up, and then I yell. And I know that when I raise my voice, it frightens my children. And I'm getting better at it. Back in February or March, when Chrissy had sent me away on that retreat, I remember it was Thursday night, and I was writing in my journal. I had at that point been 4 or 5 days since I'd seen my family, and I was really missing them. And so I dedicated some time in my journal where I wrote about everyone. I wrote about my wife, and I wrote about my two kids, and I wrote about my daughter Caitlin, and I wrote, God helped me to be more of a loving dad to Caitlin and more patient and to stop yelling, because I know that it really bothers her when she yells. Then it was interesting. This was around the time I got up and shared stuff with the church, and Kim Johnson had given me a batch of letters that kids had written to Alex and Katie for their wedding. Remember, I read those to you guys. And obviously, as I'm reading through them, I was curious to see what my children wrote. And Caitlin wrote on her heart, you know, always have fun and love each other. And in great big letters on the right side of the heart, it said, no yelling. God speaks through preachers and he speaks through authors and he speaks through all those. He speaks through music and all that stuff, right? But I think sometimes that the voice that God speaks through that we often ignore are our children. God speaks through others. He can choose to speak through anyone he chooses or anything he chooses. We even read in scripture that he spoke through a donkey, didn't he? And not plural donkeys, as I indicated in my email a few weeks ago. Some of you are going to be thinking about that and you'll get it. God speaks through the experience of life. As we conclude this morning, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." When incidents in our life take place, we are often thrust into a position of trying to determine God's place in that incident. Now, it's easier to ask this question in some incidents as opposed to others. Sometimes we drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out what God is saying in certain situations. It is in these difficult situations and any situation that we should allow our senses to be open to listening to what God is saying, particularly in prayer. It is during these incidents that we should spend time in prayer and listening with God. Don't dismiss what you hear in the experiences of life, as God can speak through them. You might find the answers to your prayers being fulfilled in the experiences of your life. So listen closely. I so appreciate Trina last week saying that she wants to learn lessons through this ordeal with breast cancer. She is opening her heart and her mind to listen to what God might be saying to her in this time of cancer. She's listening, and she's not limiting that. She's saying, "I want to listen to what doctors are saying. I want to listen to what some new friends might be saying, or some medical assistants might be saying." She's opening her heart and mind up to what God is saying. If you are experiencing some difficulty, if you're experiencing difficulty at work, try to listen to what God is saying through the difficulty at work. If you are experiencing marital issues, try to hear what God is saying in your marital issues. If you're having issues with sin, try to listen what God is saying while you are dealing with that sin. Open up your eyes, open up the ears of your heart, and listen to what God is saying in your experience to ensure you are listening to the voice of God. Is it important that we engage in a daily walk with God? Through a daily walk with him, we fall into rhythm with God, with his way and with his will. It's not a stretch to believe that we hear God better when we are close to him. So my prayer is that we cease, that prayer ceases from being a monologue, but a conversation, where the ears and eyes of our heart are open to the voice and work of God our Father. And maybe for us, prayer is the method by which we enter a dedicated moment of stillness. "Be still and know I am God," God says in Psalm 46. Several years ago, when I was thinking about going into ministry, so this is right around about 1996, I was dating this girl, and I thought I was in love with this girl. And I told this girl that I wanted to marry her. And I told this girl that I wanted to be a minister. And she looked at me, and she said, "There's no way I could be married to a minister." And so I said, "Well, there is no way that I want to be a minister." And then we just, things, the wheels just fell off that thing, and I got pretty down on myself. But there was just this call from God to hear him and to listen to him and to follow his calling in ministry. It was there. And I was agonizing with that decision. And I remember I used to meet at a friend's house, my friend Stacy, with some other friends. And I remember we were praying about me just being in anguish about what to do. I didn't know what to do, and I was afraid. I remember I went to a Blockbuster, and I pulled up to the Blockbuster. I was going to go rent some movies, and outside of the Blockbuster was this guy who, when I got out of my car, he was standing about 10 feet away. I could smell the alcohol on him. And he said, yo, man, let me hold like $5, man. Let me hold $5. I said, man, I ain't got $5, man. I, you know, and I wasn't going to give it to him anyway because he was going to go get something to drink with it. And he says, man, what are you afraid of? I said, what? He says, man, why are you afraid to go into ministry, man? Why are you afraid to listen to what God is calling you to do, man? You need to go into ministry. You need to do. I said, what are you talking about? And we sat there, had a 10-minute conversation. He was just telling me, don't be afraid. Just do it. I said, man, here go $10. go ahead, have a drink on me. I don't know. God can choose anybody to speak to you in prayer. But we've got to be still. We've got to take out all the noises. We've got to listen. May our prayer move from monologue to dialogue. Let's pray. God, in this moment of silence, God, I pray that you would speak to us. God, as we take a moment of silence in just a second, God, you know what needs to be said. You know what hearts needs to be spoken to right now. So God, in this stillness, speak to us. And Father, help us not to be afraid of the silence, but to enjoy the silence, to know that in the silence, like the loving shepherd, you are with us. Be with us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church can do anything for you, pray for you, help lead you into a better relationship with Jesus Christ by sitting down and sharing with you the blessing of Jesus Christ and his gospel. We would love to have that opportunity, and you want to share that with us. If you want to share some mishaps that's going on in your life, you want to share testimony, something that's going on in your life. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, profess faith in him, and you want to display that in baptism, we would love to be a part of that. So as we sing about this song of opening the eyes of our heart, I invite you to come if you so desire. Let's stand up. Let's sing.